Chris,
Marcus,
we are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys already know, do follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram is the same, ALPA_QB1. Also, follow me and Chris on Twitter as well at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. Also, hit us on Facebook as well, a little pocket awareness. And of course, everywhere you can get podcasts, make sure you hit the subscribe button there and download on Spotify. So, Chris, we are back off summer hiatus.
It's a new season, Marcus.
It's a new season. We got some preseason Hall of Fame game. We got preseason games coming up this week. Hard Knocks coming up. Tomorrow, Hard Knocks is coming Tuesday. Uh-huh. Get a little Hard Knocks. And then, of course, today we're going to do our annual quarterback list, the ALPA list. Right. I'm gonna start posting these on Twitter. I just want to make people angry. Let's make people some people angry. See how angry you can get people.
Fire them up, Marcus.
Fire them up. Let's get them upset.
Let's see if they can, come after our Twitter.
Something. I don't know, man. We get to get them upset.
People are gonna be angry, Marcus. You know why?
Why they could be angry?
Because the old goats are gone. And now it's all these young guys. People are getting crowned nice and early. We got shows like The Quarterback on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you get that all in? Did you watch?
Yeah, that? Yeah, I watched that. I watched a very interesting show.
I was thinking it was very nicely done. You know what I liked on Twitter is they're trying to like break for season two, like who the QB is going to be. And everybody's saying, no, I'm not in it. And it's like, oh my God, nobody's going to be on the show. But it's a tactic. Mm-hmm. They don't want to release who the quarterbacks are going to be for season two.
Exactly. I think it's going to be Justin Herbert, because Justin Herbert is a goofball, and he basically said he was on it.
And I think it's going to be Burrow also.
No, Burrow said he said no. But
they all said that they said
you can't say no, say no, and then say you do it.
That's what's happening for this show. They're all saying no, and it's going to be Burrow and Herbert. It's going to be who's the third one? Who's the young gun that's going to be the third one? Who would you guess would it be? Or would it be a savvy vet this time?
No, I don't know. I don't know who the third person would be. That's be the interesting part. But I know Herbert's doing it. He's already confirmed it. I don't think Burrow's doing it. I don't think Joe Burrow's doing it. I think Justin Herbert, it probably like, I bet it'd be like Derek Carr, like somebody we don't even think about. I bet it'd be like Derek Carr. Someone like that. Or like a Jared Goff. Geno Smith would be a good one for like the mid-tier. I think Geno Smith would be a great guy to follow. Great story. Just because the storyline is good. So that was some people I think that would be. And then like, Derek Carr going to the Saints and leaving the Raiders, that would be, I'm sure he'd let loose on that. All his little emotions he got. So he would do that. And then, Jared Goff's a good one, I think, because the Lions supposed to have a big season.
I like that. I like that idea that it's Goff or Carr. I like that. Somebody in that Kirk Cousins
spectrum. Yeah, yes, the Kirk Cousins areas.
He did his best to make me not like him.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, he kept saying all like the right things. I don't know. I'm still out on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, man. It's Kirk Cousins, man. He is what he is. But he's tough dude, tough guy, man. He took some
hits. Bro, he got beat up. I don't like how he is on the sidelines. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I did not like his sideline demeanor even in the slightest. But in the interviews and some of the stuff that he was doing on the field, I can understand. Is it me or is he like autistic? No. Just the way that his brain was kind of operating. Like, yeah. I didn't understand a lot of the decision making. But like he does a good job, like at least in the interview process, of making me like come back to reality with him. But I did everything I could to just not like him that entire time.
Yeah. I thought he was interesting though. I thought he had some interesting stuff to him.
Absolutely.
Just how like it was like boring interesting. Yeah. Like Marcus Mariota. Like I mean, did he like Marcus Mariota's was
dude? He basically said like screw y'all.
I know, but.
I was very surprised by that.
He should have known that was going to happen, though.
Now he's going to be the Eagles' backup. What?
Yeah, but I doubt he won't ever see the field there. They probably hope he doesn't.
Well, so. He better not. Yeah, they hope. They better hope he doesn't see the field.
He won't. He won't, man. I think he got his last shot to be a starter. He's never going to be a starter again. That's basically what we saw on that show. That was his shot.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
I mean, not like they drafted a first round guy to replace him. I mean, he had a shot. It was a third round guy. That was his shot to be a starter.
Dude, that's Ritter. That's Ritter's team for a long time now.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see what Desmond Ritter, if he could take the next step, or I mean, just hand the ball off and not turn the ball over. So we'll see.
Hey, that's all he's got to do, man. That's what I'm telling you. All he's got to do, he's just got to be a locker room guy and just turn around and hand it off, and then pop to Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. All right, Chris. Any quarterback news? I mean, besides, if you want to do Raiders and Packers, I don't know if I really want to do this right now.
No.
I'm not going to talk about mine. There's nothing to really talk about.
At least, hey, your guy, he passed his physical. That was important.
Well, I mean, the big thing now, he's throwing interceptions. Like, he's throwing like 10 interceptions in camp already. Like, I don't know what that's about. He threw seven.
He doesn't know how to adjust the offense. That's what it is. He's not ready to learn this offense right now.
He's in trouble. He's got to play quarterback. We'll talk about him a little later
on. Yeah, because you don't have a running back behind him anymore.
And he ain't got no Kyle Shanahan and, you know, trying, you know, giving him a little. You gotta play quarterback. Joshua Daniels calls the play and says, go. Have fun. And then you have to actually, like, you know, be Tom Brady out there.
Devontae's pissed.
No, Devontae's mad. He's going to demand it. I'm not going to talk to this on any like Raiders podcast, but you know, come on, man. You saw what Aaron Rodgers did. Come on. The fix is already in. Can we talk about that? I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know what the Jets are going to do. They don't have the draft capital for it. But
if he ends up a Jet, I'm going to be furious.
Bruh. See, and you know why you're going to be furious, Chris? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's going to be for like a third and a fifth.
Bro, no way. No way. They don't have not only do they not have the draft capital to do that, they don't have the cap space to do something like that.
They do. Aaron Rodgers has cleared like 30 something million in caps. He's cleared a bunch of caps.
35. Bro, if he would have ever done that as a Green Bay Packer, could you imagine how good those teams would have been?
Exactly.
Do not get me started on what he did there. That's it. That's all I got for Packer talk. You know, I'm gonna let Jordan Love do all the talking for me this season.
Okay.
I'll hit you when we get to right before week one with my thoughts. But until then, I'm locking this up, bro. I ain't saying nothing.
Because the Jets don't have the capital for it. Okay.
No.
What I think might happen is that, you know, just what we're seeing in camp, and I know Garoppolo's going to struggle just going from Shanahan's offense to this offense because, I mean, Cam Newton struggled. You know, Carr struggled a little bit. Carr struggled. Everybody that kind of moved from this offense, especially going from the West Coast to this one where there's no wheels, right? The wheels are off. Like, you have the little training wheel offense with Kyle Shanahan. You're on the training wheels, and you're just like, yeah, I'm so efficient. You're just hitting all these wide open guys, just getting all this yak. Deebo Samuel breaking 8 tackles. George Kittle wide open on a choice route. Like, everything is great, right? Everything is so great. But now you got to play quarterback like Tom, bro. Like, this system is not for the weak. So,
I mean, isn't this what they groomed Garoppolo for when they drafted him to replace Tom Brady? Isn't this what it's all about?
Chris, so let's keep it real, okay? Obviously, there's a reason why they traded him to San Francisco. We could talk about. I mean, they could have traded to Brady. I mean, Brady wanted out. He wanted out at that time.
And that was the place that he would have loved to go. He would have loved to go to San Francisco.
And during the turmoil of the 2017 season of the Patriots – and Bill Belichick and Brady and them having all this turmoil and kicking Alex Guerrero out, they still traded Jimmy Garoppolo midseason.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want no Jimmy. Bill didn't want no Jimmy, bro. Let's keep it real. If Bill wanted Jimmy, and Jimmy was good enough to replace Tom Brady, he is getting rid of Tom Brady and putting Jimmy Garoppolo in because he's cheaper.
I ain't going to fight you on that.
Right? He would have been cheaper. Yeah, you got to start Jimmy, right, at some point, and they didn't, and they traded him. You can make the case or whatever case you want to make, but that's real, man. I don't know what to tell anybody. And like he's just not the same guy as he was in 2016. He has like 8 leg injuries. He doesn't step into his throat. I'm getting to my Jimmy breakdown way too quick here. I'm gonna get to that in the back end. But basically, what I'm saying is that he doesn't look good in camp. And you know, we all want to lie to ourselves about it. We're just lying. We're like, no, he's throwing interceptions. He's testing tight windows on purpose. You know, this because Aaron, your boy started that. He started that shit. I'm gonna say shit. Your boy started that. Now everybody thinks that everybody does it. No, Aaron Rodgers can practice throwing picks. He could just like, yeah, I'm sure. Great, Mr. Robot Machine. I'll do. Like,
dude, I do not like how into it this man is for what he's gonna do for the Jets.
This hard knocks
is gonna mess with me real good. I'm not ready for this.
Chris.
I'm not ready for this season.
You got full off season, Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not ready for this season.
In the same offense that he's always run, you've got full off season, Aaron Rodgers. Fully invested. Fully engaged.
I'm not ready for this season.
I'm not going to get to him until we get to when I get to his breakdown, but I got some predictions for your boy, Aaron. You're not going to like.
Brother, I'm right there with you.
You already see it coming. You see it, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And if the Raiders do get stupid, because the Jets can't trade for Davante Adams. They have nothing to give us. But if the Raiders get stupid and you know, he's just in Josh's head too much, like, get me out of here, man. Like, this is stupid. Like, what are you doing? Like, I want to win, bro. Like, and you're like, what are you trying to do? And, you know, a third and a fifth is going to piss everybody off because it's going to be something stupid like that. Packers fans are going to be mad. Raiders fans are going to be really mad. And then Jets fans are going to be like, yes.
All right, let's bring it back. Let's focus on what we're talking about here today. Today is all about breaking down Marcus's film study from this summer. And Marcus is going to lay out his top quarterbacks of this year. We're going to go backwards, 32 to number one. But here's the thing. Marcus doesn't count those rookies, and I'm with him on that. You cannot do tape review on rookies when all they got is college tape. Right there with Marcus. So today, when we talk about 32 to the number one, we're not talking about 32 breakdowns here. We're talking about, we'll have a little bit of a conversation about some of these rookies. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of conversation about some of these first-year quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And for today's episode, we're going to get you down to number 20.
Okay. We're going to get down to 20 today. All
right. We're going to get down to 20 today.
Yeah, and then next week, we're going to do 20 to 10.
As we get you to the preseason, 20 to 10. Then we'll hit you with that 10 to 1. And you know what? Maybe it'll be 10 to 5. Maybe it'll be 5 to 1. Who knows? We're going to take it. We're going to break it down for you. We're going to see how preseason's going. We're going to see how invested everybody is in Hard Knocks. We're going to see what kind of conversations need to be had. And we'll see how many times Marcus and I tangent, because we're really good at that.
Exactly. All right. So I just want to start with some, what do they call this? An epilogue? Before you get into it. I forgot.
Yeah, epilogue. Yeah, you're right.
Epilogue. Yeah, that's right. This was like the hardest list I've ever done in my life for quarterbacks.
And I'll tell you exactly why. I know why this is hard for you. Because we're missing some of our just consistent old veteran quarterbacks that are just no longer there. Some guys that you can lock in to the front half of your list. You ain't got to worry about them because you know what they're going to do year in and year out. They're gone, Marcus.
Yeah, the first four was easy. Like, that was easy. But then, like, after that, like, I just literally sat there. I think I've changed, like, 10 through 20, like, four times. Like, it rearranged the guys. And then, like, and then I forgot one guy. I'm like, oh, I forgot him. And that's, I got to move a bunch of guys down. I'm like, oh, like, and then I'm like, well, this guy, I'm like, would I really take this guy over him, even if he played better last year? Would I really do that if I was really it was a lot of things that I had to do. Like, sliding Geno Smith was tough because, you know, we'll get into Geno Smith, but that was probably my hardest thing to do because it was like,
well, he balled out last year.
Exactly. So it's like,
dude balled out last year.
Do I just like say, forget the rest of your history and just put you where you go?
Are you what we were talking about?
I, you know, it's just, that's where it was like crazy for me, you know? So it got weird there. Cause I graded him really high and I was like, but he's not that good. I can't believe myself. I don't care what this, so like, he's got to do this again. Right. Like, I just can't just hop on the train. He's got to do it one more time for me.
Not just
do you agree with that?
Not just for you. I agree with that.
All right. So, let's just get into it. So, you know, Richardson, Stroud, and Young, are probably the three rookies. Stroud is in a battle with Davis Mills. I just don't expect him to lose it.
How did you say that out loud? How did you say that with a serious face out loud?
He is, though. I mean,
bro, I'm not having that conversation with you.
He's splitting time with the ones, with Davis Mills. Okay, I don't know. Chris,
whatever. The news. It's preseason. You know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Fine.
What if he has a bad preseason, though? We don't know. He might.
They don't care. They do not care. Fine. Whatever. He loses the battle. Who cares? It's the Texans. It's the worst team in the league. What's their over under? 3.5?
I don't even know, man. I have no idea about their over under for
Wednesday. I mean, the Cardinals is 4.5, and that's
which I think miserable. Is messed up. Which we'll get into that on the next episode. I think it's messed up. But
next episode, you got them in your top 20.
Yeah, man. We'll talk about that. We'll get into it. So the rookies, Stroud, Young already got declared a starter. That took like a week of practice. Mm-hmm. they're like, and so the starter is Bryce Young. That was a quick competition for them. Mm-hmm. But Richardson, he's winning his competition too. I mean, it's not really.
Come on, stop calling him a competition.
Bro, you just never know. You know,
I'll tell you what, though, him and Gardner are getting along very well. They got a good quarterback room over there. They're very, very positive. Everybody's feeling really good about themselves in the quarterback room over there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Minshew will be positive. He's not going to be the starter long, so, you know. I just feel bad for Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton actually played all right last year. It's just like, you know, and then he went to the team that, you know, traded up to what afterwards? I guess it had to hurt. He's like, man, I got a chance against whoever's here. They're like, they move up to one. Like, nah, man, you're the backup. Have fun. Well, yeah. So those are the three rookies. I think those guys, I think Bryce Young is in he's in the worst situation out of all these guys. I think CJ Stroud is in a situation where if he actually played well, they could probably steal like 7 games because they're going to play good defense.
7.
Yeah, they get to 7 in a bad division. 7. You're in a bad division, Chris.
Wow.
Right, and that, which I think every team is over. Wait, I think the Jags are the most overrated team in football. Trevor Lawrence, but they're super overrated. They basically just have Trevor Lawrence, and you know So
wow, Marcus.
I think they're probably the overrated as hell, and it's just the AFC South. So I think that if he plays well, if he played good football, not average. I'm not talking about even average to below average. I'm talking about he played good football. They could get to 7 wins because I think the defense and all that stuff. But it's gonna take a little bit while for him to adjust, and he's behind. He's late all the time. He's not anticipator, so it's gonna be a while for him, in my opinion. But I think Bryce Young is gonna surprise some people in the South a little bit. He might get to like 7 wins too. But I don't think those are really good teams. He just has nobody to throw to. Unless Terrace Marshall just becomes a monster.
What? Adam Thielen? Adam Thielen's a go-to.
Oh, come on, man. It's like Jordy Nelson going to the Raiders. Like, yeah, sure. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Wow, you're going to go
there. I'm sure he has talent.
Hey, man, you watch quarterback just like I watch quarterback. Kirk Cousins wouldn't even acknowledge Adam Thielen on the sideline.
Well, because Adam Thielen's been yelling at him for 10 years, man. Like, I don't know. Tell him he sucks.
He would not even acknowledge him on the sideline. Thielen's happy. He's happy to be over there in Carolina. You know what? Adam Thielen is going to be the possession receiver over there. He'll be Young's savior.
Yeah, especially in the red zone. Adam Thielen's really great in the red zone. Mm-hmm. He's going to help him out there a lot. But yeah, but Adam Thielen's always used to back Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs would say something to him. Adam Thielen's like, yeah, man, Kirk sucks, bro. I don't know what to tell you. I agree with Diggs, you know? Uh-huh. Every time Dig says something, Dino's right behind to backing him up. So we all know how he feels about Kirk Cousins. All right. So let's get into the list, man. Let's get to this some of these early guys. There was small ounces of Philemon. So start off with Sam Howell, who's getting mm-hmm. his chance to start for the Commanders.
Washington, currently named the Commanders.
Yeah, he got a one start against the Cowboys later on in the season at the last game of the year.
Took it to him, didn't he?
I mean, he played okay. He played pretty, he played tough. I mean, that's just what I'm saying. So, like, I don't know how else to explain that. He just played tough. Like, I mean, he made some good decisions. He made some decent throws every once in a while. He played better in the second half than he did in the first half. But, I don't know if he looked more than a backup quarterback, in my opinion. Just from watching him, he didn't look like a starter. Like, and then like a guy like, oh, my God, let me get a starting quarterback going. But, you know, they play such good defense in Washington that they probably think, you know, we don't need him to be a superstar. Jacoby Brissett probably should be the starter there, but they're going to go with Sam Howell. Because I think if they went with Brissett, they probably have a better chance to win games overall, just because he's just a older veteran quarterback. So I think should be in the start. This should be a spot starter, just like some of these other guys that we're going to be talking about in a minute, in a second. So I think that situation with Sam Howell could be fine. But he played tough. Like he's looked like a rookie. You know, his arm's not that big, but you know he made some plays with his legs, and you know made some of these right reads and was throwing a ball to McLaurin. I guess he was smart that way. I like rookies who just know, hey, I got a really good player. Maybe just throw to him.
Yeah,
it's a smart thing to be. Hey, if I just throw it up to him, he might make a play for me if I don't know where else to go. I think Sam Howell has some ability to, you know, kind of be a tough kind of player that Washington wants at quarterback. They want that tough guy who's going to try to run somebody over and move the chains and not have any turnovers or anything like that. But I think it's going to be a little bit of a growth for him. I don't know what's happening out of camp with him and Brissett, but I know pretty much that they really like what he's doing over there a little bit. So I've heard some good things a little bit here and there when I'm going over. I don't know too many people who cover Washington that much, but he's got McLaurin. He's got a pretty decent running game. But they play really good defense over there. They still got that great defensive line they got over there.
Great defensive line. He's going to get a lot of opportunities with the football.
Yeah, he's going to get some chances, but I don't know how much he's going to do with those chances. But I could be wrong. He just kind of looked like a backup to me. Because like a backup in his first start, it didn't look that impressive. I don't know. Did the Cowboys play that whole game? I don't know if they might have, because I don't think Dak played pretty well. But
Dak played awful in that game. That was one of those games where it's like, hey, we should have won, and they didn't. So the Cowboys Cowboys got a lot of grief for the way that game went.
That's true. Yeah. So
I watched. I watched that game live. Sam definitely brought the energy that was necessary for the position to kind of say, this is my team. Let me put these guys on my back. I'm the quarterback here, and that sent him along the path to be in the position that he is right now. I agree with you. He's going to end up getting every opportunity to be the starter of this football team. And unless he has an awful preseason, he will start week one. If he has an awful preseason, it's going to be Jacoby's team.
Yeah. To be honest, I think the team will be good enough that he'll start like 12 games or more. I think they'll be like, they'll be able to keep afloat, and they'll still be like in the AFC East race. And
I mean,
NFC, the NFC has absolutely no quarterbacks. So, you know, it's there's a chance for him to, you know, steal a playoff spot, man.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah, no, man. He's definitely, I mean, I think they're a 500 team with Sam Howell at quarterback, bare minimum.
Yeah, I think they'll find a way to you know, be tough on the
defense,
football.
Man. That defense.
And he just can't turn the ball over now. Yeah, he just can't turn the ball over, man.
Agreed. He's in a turnover
type of thing.
It'll go to Jacoby. They'll put Jacoby in the set if he gets too turnover prone. I agree with you.
All right, so another guy I had limited tape on before I really get to my tape watching guys. Before we get to the tape watchers here, Jordan Love. You know, we just want to talk about Jordan Love. Some places have Jordan Love like higher than this. Like, I don't know why. I guess that the Eagles game was a pretty damn good film. You know, you go watch that game.
It was a great film.
He played pretty damn well. He made some great reads. He talked about it in, like, in The Athletic, that one of the reasons they felt like they can move on from Aaron and comfortable
was because of that game. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a read that he made where, like, a high-low read where he read it really well. And then he threw the ball away from the defender, too. So, you know, Christian Watson made a great catch. Also, Christian Watson in that game, that play that he had. Christian Watson, bro, at the end of the year was ridiculous. Bro, I don't understand. People don't even realize.
Yeah, I don't know how he didn't get more Rookie of the Year vibes. I really don't understand how he didn't.
That Watson run, the way he closed those ankles.
Dude, he took that flat.
It was...
Dude's got some speed.
Like how many times he's gonna be doing that off play action? Because that was a play action pass. Jordan Love, he has quick release. He didn't even think. He just saw it, boom, right there. He has a great step on that ball, and right to Watson, right on time, right on the money. Right, he's still running full speed, and he's
gone.
Was gone.
Gone. and that's a crossing route. That wasn't just a go route. That was a crossing route.
But just think about that. If they're able to run the ball, man, they're going to have a lot of opportunities for those type of plays because they're going to hit those crossing routes. And, you know, teams are either going to have to make a decision. Do I – linebackers have to creep up? If I creep up, Christian Watson's is going to become Mr. A.J. Brown, but faster and taking crossers. And that's going to be tough. But, a lot of that stuff in that game, too, is, you know, Jordan Love making a lot of plays, unorthodox throws, a lot of those things. You're seeing some of that in camp already, too. I think there's a chance where he can, like, really rise up this list. And I think that he's this really talented quarterback. And you kind of see that he knows what he's doing. And the thing with me, too, is, like, if you know that offense, you've been in that offense for so long, it shouldn't be too much for him. And that's why you kind of saw him go in there and they're able to run the plays and feel real comfortable with him and make things happen, right? And, I think that the sky's the limit with Jordan Love. I really, you know, I just put him in here because I can't just go off quarter of tape.
There's a reason why, and I'm acceptable with you putting, accepting of you putting him in this first grouping of quarterbacks that we're discussing because of that exact reason. There's no tape. There's nothing but him sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be quite an interesting year one. I'm gonna bite my tongue and I'm gonna keep my fandom and my own personal opinions until we get to right before week one. I'm gonna leave it there. There's some stuff to be excited about on tape. There's some things to be excited about even in camp right now. And I have an idea of what I believe this offense is going to be. And for me, it's going to be the Packers defense that really solidifies what happens for Jordan Love. And I'll dive into more details about that at another time.
All right. So enough Jordan Love, because like I said, there's a quarter of film. I mean,
there's two starts. There's one start against Kansas City, and then there's a quarter and a half of other film. And that one start doesn't even count because what was that? Rodgers got COVID on like Thursday, and he got one day of practice as a starter to play the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Yeah, no, it's not
exactly.
Let's not even go there.
Exactly. All right. So my next guy is the king follower of our list, man. He was 15. I was nice to him last year. Have him 18. Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
The king follower. Baker Mayfield is back in the mix. Now, I think Baker played better with Sean McVay.
I agree.
But he didn't play well at all with Carolina.
No,
did not play well at all. Definitely had some, kind of looked the same guy. I mean, he kind of looked the same guy a little bit in L.A. too. But I mean, you just have a better play caller and kind of like a little bit of a better guy who knows how to play around your strengths a little bit. And I think that he still has a big arm. He still has, he still has some of that information. But, like reading the field and seeing the field, I mean, he still doesn't see the field well. He's still not seeing things and, having a lot of anticipation in his throws. he's still, you know, throwing the ball into traffic and throwing a lot of interceptions and stuff like that. So he's still a very turnover prone type of player. And I mean, that element's still going to be there because he just thinks he can, you know, make every throw, and he wants to try to, you know, be, you know, Mr. Playmaker and, you know, get into that type of, you know, situation. I think he might play pretty good with like Mike Evans and some of those guys just because.
Now you're getting the
way. I think there might be a chance of that, but, you know, who knows? I mean, he's in a battle with Kyle Trask. So, you know, if he loses to Kyle Trask.
Calm down.
He's
not in a battle with Kyle Trask.
Yes, he is. Kyle Trask is starting the second preseason game, Chris. That's a battle.
He's going to have to prove himself. He doesn't. Baker. So at this point in time, Baker does not need to be playing preseason football games. It is an effort to continue to keep some pressure on Baker to make him feel a little uncomfortable, make sure he's on point, make sure he's performing. Baker Mayfield's the starting quarterback week one for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So let's be very serious about what's happening here, okay? This is the best wide receiver core that he's ever thrown to.
I mean, kind of.
What do you mean kind of?
He had Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry in like their primes, and he didn't do anything.
No. Don't even pretend like Beckham was in his prime.
He was.
And Jarvis Landry is not in his prime. He's in his aging veteran years.
That was Baker had him.
Mike Evans and Mike Godwin and Chris Godwin are the two best wide receivers that he's ever working with. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Career-wise. Okay, career-wise.
Maybe. Yes, and in Baker Mayfield's career, career-wise, these are the two best wide receivers he's ever thrown.
I don't think Mike Evans is better than Odell Beckham. I just think Odell Beckham just played with Baker Mayfield and got hurt.
Beckham never, ever, ever was 100% Odell Beckham with Baker Mayfield. Let's just be very honest here.
But whose fault is that? Is that Odell Beckham's fault? Where's Baker Mayfield's fault?
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are the two best wide receivers that he's ever worked with.
I mean, I just don't agree with that. That's all, Chris. I just don't agree with that. I don't think they're the.
I would take Evans and Godwin over Landry and Beckham.
So in 2018, because you gotta go back. 2018, you would have took Odell Beckham over Mike. You take Mike Evans over Odell Beckham in 2018. I don't believe you.
How many consistent 1,000-yard receiving games or receiving seasons, 1,000-yard receiving seasons does Odell Beckham have?
I mean, at that time. We're talking about when he got traded to the Browns. We're not talking about.
Bro, he was coming off an injury as he's getting traded to the Browns. He was never healthy when he played for the Browns. We never saw real Odell Beckham. He was healthy Odell that Beckham. Whole year.
No. 2018 to 2019, he was healthy.
Come on.
2019, he was healthy. I'm telling you. I'm just saying, Chris. I mean,
the Beckham that we knew was never that guy for the Browns. He's MVP. He was never that guy for the Browns. Not one time. Not a single time.
Baker Mayfield, MVP 2019. He's going to be MVP. He's got Odell Beckham. He's got Jarvis Landry.
You
got David Njoku.
You and I never had those conversations. Nick Chubb.
I know we did. MVP. We did it. I'm just saying, those were the conversations. Yes, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Kareem Hunt. Like, it was just, come on, bro. Come on, dog. I don't give me heat. That was a talented ass team.
Listen, I didn't say the team wasn't talented. I'm telling you, the wide receivers that he's working with, these are the best. This is the best wide receiver duo that he's ever had.
All right.
That's where I'm going with that. I'm not saying that he's going to have some miraculous year. I'm saying this is the best group of wide receivers that he's working with. And he may have, what, like seven interceptions in 9 practices? Like, that's not good. Not good, but don't pretend like Kyle Trask is going to come in here and take his job. Like, let's be very, very real.
It is a possibility. Don't ignore it. I'm just saying. Don't ignore it.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
All right, man. Yeah. So don't ignore it. Okay. Baker Mayfield, right. His reputation is a little bit gone. They kind of built it up a little bit last year, but, you know, when he wasn't facing the Raiders defense, he was all right. He didn't play it very well. So,
all I know, he looked good with the Rams.
He looked all right with the Rams. I watched some of those. He didn't play very well against the Seahawks.
I didn't say very well. I said good.
You look like Baker Mayfield.
Not subpar Baker Mayfield. Not that entire season where he's got a messed up shoulder and a bum ankle, Baker Mayfield. He looked like, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and never know. Maybe Baker Mayfield, he might be a riser. He might rise back up. He's fallen, but he might get back up.
Chris. Bro, you know it's been a while since we've had a quarterback conversation because we just got all fired up about Baker Mayfield.
Here we go. Let's move it out here. Desmond Ridder. We got Desmond Ridder at 26. So my boy Desmond, ALPA QB1 from the 2021 draft. Our QB2. Oh, actually,
it was two.
Pickett was one.
Pickett was one.
I said Pickett was going one. We had Desmond Ridder as QB1.
No. You might have had Ridder as QB1. I had Pickett above Ridder. But those were the only two that I was accepting in the potential first round conversation.
All right. So Desmond Ridder, his tape is hilarious to me because the funniest thing about his
he doesn't
tape,
play until the fourth quarter. It's the same thing as when
that, he was that Cincinnati. That too. But like in the Saints game, his first game that I watched, because I watched the Saints game, and then the second to last game, because I didn't want to watch him playing against the bums, the Cardinals. I think I watched some of it, but I just was like, this is pointless. Because it was the last game of the season, nobody cares. It was just, guys just, they're just out there getting a paycheck, half those guys, the Cardinals. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the game against they won the second game I watched, but the first game, he's playing the Saints. And he's a little inaccurate a little bit, and some of those things you kind of saw in college. But he's still kind of steady. I think his pocket presence is a little iffy too. Some things he took some sacks he shouldn't have taken in the pocket. Maybe holding the ball too long a little bit. But I more want to get to his turnovers because he didn't turn the ball over at all. Mm-mm, right?
No, he didn't.
Did not turn the ball over. But there's this one play against the Saints that he almost throws a pick six. It's like early in the second quarter, they're driving, and he always throws a pick six, kind of forces the ball in traffic a little bit. He never forced the ball in traffic after that. Never did. It just was like, they move really fast here. it kind of just changed a little bit from there. And it's hard to like, because he didn't do anything bad, right?
No,
game manager. He didn't do anything really good.
Game manager. That's right? What he needs. That's what he needs to be at the NFL level for at least the next two seasons before he can really figure it out and get used to everything.
And like sometimes you saw him anticipate, and then sometimes he's like really late. So it's like, I don't know, like maybe he's can learn the offense a little bit and be more, executed a little bit better than maybe he did later on in the season. And he got better as the games went along. So, you saw him kind of grow a little bit, but I still think there's some elements to them where he just might just frustrate everybody and make a playoffs with 16 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And everybody's like, oh, is he good? Is he not? And, handing the ball off to Bijan Robinson.
There's the key to it. There's the absolute key to it. He's going to be turning around and giving the ball to Bijan and Patterson. And that's going to be their offense. They're gonna invest in the running game.
See, I think it's going to be – I want to stop you there because I don't think this is going to be the whole offense because I think Drake London is really good. Kyle Pitts is still really good.
I didn't say it was going to be their whole offense. You're right. They got Kyle Pitts and Drake London. They got two guys that they can throw the ball to. But mm-hmm. We're not going to see 2,000-yard receivers over there. That's not happening.
I'm not putting it past that. If it were, it would be those two because I think those guys could get the targets off the play actions. Ridder. Sure. See, one thing that I really notice is Ridder and London have a great chemistry. London's best games were with Ridder as quarterback. He had his best games. Touchdown wise, yards wise, it was only two games. His only game over 100, his only other game over 90 was with Desmond Ridder. They got great chemistry there. So, they're working together. That's his guy. I don't know about Kyle Pitts yet.
There's four guys touching the ball in that offense. It's London, it's Pitts, it's Bijan, and it's Patterson.
Do they really need more guys? What's wrong with that?
Well, listen, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, they got a core. They know what they're going to get, who's getting the ball on the offensive side. I'm more concerned about the defense not giving them the opportunity to get these guys on the field as often as they want to, especially if they want to develop a running game. If that running game is not working and it's getting shut down, and then all of a sudden you get on 2-3 scores, there's four mouths to feed, and they got to figure out a way to do it, because if they're playing from behind, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential
there.
Maybe.
I mean, it's
a
fourth quarter.
There's a lot of potential there.
If you're behind the fourth quarter, I mean, Desmond Ridder might get it done, man. He just does.
Well, he's the fourth. That's the only quarter he shows up and plays in. That's the only quarter he shows up and plays in.
Because every fourth quarter he did play well, man. Yeah. The States game, all of a sudden he just became a great quarter. He just was making every read, making throws.
You're not wrong. You want to talk about hashtag we'll see. It's that Atlanta Falcons team. It is that Atlanta Falcons team. If there was ever a year in the NFC South to cause a little chaos, this is the year.
For sure. All right. Desmond Ridder at 26. My next guy is Brock Purdy at 25. Brock Purdy. He had six starts last year and then plus the playoffs. And, you know, with Brock, it was interesting. I think Brock
He knows how to play in Shanahan's offense.
Exactly.
Let's call a spade a spade.
I mean, that's really all that matters, right? I mean,
spade a spade.
Is there any better way to explain it than that? But I think a couple things with him, though. I think he anticipates pretty damn well, though. I think he anticipates a lot of things. He has some good throws. He has great timing. A lot better than Jimmy Garoppolo did in that same offense. And I thought, like, some of the throws that he made, like the throw against Miami was really a great throw. It's really his first throw, but he threw that ball so early, and he got decked, and it was right where George Kittle was on him. But he threw it early, right before George Kittle came out of his break. He has the same kind of throw against Dallas on like a 30-yard throw. He throws the ball at it before George Kittle's out of his break. And, you know, there's some elements to him making plays, right? He has a crazy play against the Raiders where he like spins around in like a circle and throws it over three guys right to where George Kittle is in the back of the end zone. Like, he just has a little bit of a playmaker thing that, you know, Kyle Shanahan might help out Shanahan a little bit and not allow him to have to be perfect every single time. So I think the 49ers can win with Purdy. So I don't think like it's really no question. I think he might be overrated because of that, just kind of the same way that some people overrate Jimmy Garoppolo because of the stats and stuff like that.
There's another name in my head.
Who?
That I want to compare to our man Brock Purdy here. So Purdy's a system guy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I mean
his success is based off of the system that he's in and maybe a little bit about the talent that's around him.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Who's that sound like?
Who's that sound like? You tell me, Chris, where you going? Where are you going with this, Chris?
Jalen Hurts?
Oh, don't do that, man. It's not.
How's that not the same?
It's not because –
Why, Jalen Hurts runs better?
Because we only got six games, so we'll see. We only have six games sample.
You know what? I will allow that. You're right. We've only got six games.
But you know, I'm going to tell you right now, Chris, you know damn well if Brock Purdy has a big year and the Niners go far in the playoffs, he's going to be in the top 10 quarterback conversation. You really can't.
I do not want to have that conversation.
Well, you are.
I do not want to have that conversation.
And you're going to see him spinning around in a circle.
The reason that I have to have that conversation is because Jalen Hurts is already the existing reason for that conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing a lot of comparisons there for me with what Brock Purdy's doing in that offense, but very similar to what Jalen Hurts is doing in the Eagles offense, because I don't see Jalen Hurts having anywhere near this kind of success in any other offense in the NFL.
Maybe. I don't know. I think you doubt Jalen Hurts a little bit too much, man. I think Jalen Hurts is
I think you doubt him a little too much.
I think he's better than you say he is. Just my opinion.
Brock Purdy's got six games. What is he, 25 at six games?
I think Brock Purdy is better than people give him credit for, too, a little bit, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think he's just not – he's I mean, he was a rookie, so you have to put that into perspective. Sure. So, like, yeah, some of the things he missed, maybe some of the throws you, like, he was a first year player, and I see some 49ers fans who want Trey Lance to start. They just kill him like he's not, like he wasn't a seventh round rookie. Like, bro, he played pretty damn well for that. Like, you can't really slice that. I mean, he was effective. He ran the offense well. He has showed some good ability to anticipate, and I think there's some elements there that maybe you could, you know, have a good season with him. I don't know what his ceiling is necessarily, sure, but I think there's some playmaking ability that he has. Like, the play against Seattle was crazy that he was making plays, and you know, you don't get those type of things. And just to say those are normal, you saw some guy that's quarterback that you liked, and you saw them do that. You're like, oh my god, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my life. So like, it's just, I don't know. I think. He's going to get knocked because he's a Shanahan quarterback more than he should.
Sure.
That's what I say.
Well, that's fair.
Shanahan did not make him against the Raiders, make two guys miss, roll out to his left, and hit George Kittle in the back of the end zone. That was not Kyle Shanahan. That was Brock Purdy.
So, hey, there's something to be said about a guy that plays 5 years in college. Something to be said.
It's not yours. It is, man. All right, next guy is Kenny Pickett. Number 24, Kenny Pickett. We got Kenny Pickett at 24 here, Mister. I think he threw more interceptions and touchdowns last year, and he was another guy that did not get in the way, right? But then in the fourth quarter, he's like, him and Desmond Ridder are like the same, in my opinion. You know, Kenny Pickett came out just throwing picks like crazy, right?
Three games, each one of them was and 2 to 3 interceptions.
Yeah, and then he stopped throwing picks, went on the safe side. You know, they play some defense. You know, they can't run the ball. I don't know. Najee Harris is the slowest running back in the NFL. I want to see him in Ezekiel Elliott race.
Wow.
Because I think he's just slow. I've never seen him.
Wow.
He's slow, Chris. He's like Eddie Lacy slow. So,
no. Oh, wow.
He is. He's slow as hell. But
dang, Marcus.
Like, Pickett did a couple tosses like to him, right? And I was like, man, that's a big hole. And that hole would just close and Najee just didn't hit. I was like, man, come on, Najee. I think Pickett has really good receivers around him. That I think Pickens is a great guy that he has a lot of chemistry, has a lot of trust.
Looking really good.
Deontay Johnson's a really good receiver. He has really good.
Yeah, but he keeps dropping the ball.
Yeah. But he's still a good receiver. And then you got Freiermuth, who I think is
love him at tight end. Yeah, they're good tight end. Those three are very, very vital to the success of that offense. Absolutely agree.
They just play in like the most vanilla offense ever. So like their coordinator sucks. All this other type of stuff. But I think he showed some growth. He showed a little bit more anticipation. I think he's still a little late over the middle, in my opinion, which I think is going to be effective. Let's kind of follow him in college. And I still don't think his pocket presence is that well. But for some reason, he's another guy that when the Steelers
he just figures it out.
He all of a sudden just becomes this, like, he starts rolling out, hitting guys over the middle, throwing across his body. And like, it's like, what the hell? So that's Steelers' winning formula anyways. So the Steelers just play defense, keep the game close, and the quarterback goes, wins it 17-13. And I think he can do that.
I think so, too.
Mike Tomlin,
hey, I'll tell you what. People got to watch out for the Steelers this year. I don't like to say that out loud very often. But there's going to be something about the Steelers this year.
Bro, that's what I'm talking about, though. Like, he's like the perfect guy for that, because that's what he did at the end of the year. Because the drive against the Raiders was really good. He sucked the whole game, and then all of a sudden he decided that he was a playmaker, and was just making like all time. Even he had this throw on the sidelines to Freiermuth. He rolled out and like threw it perfectly low, where only Freiermuth can get it. I'm like, who is this guy? So you know, that's to be frustrating for the Steelers fan. Like, like, my boy Derek DB does Steelers stuff. I'm pretty sure that frustrates the hell out of him just watching. And then all of a sudden, like, where is that in the first quarter? Maybe we'd average 27 a game if you did that all game. All right. Next guy. Get to these guys here. We got Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, come on. You know what? I'll tell you what. Jimmy should be behind Purdy. I don't like.
I'm being fair.
No, this is a homer. You're being a homer right now. You're being an absolute homer right now. No, you. If you're grading him on his time in San Francisco before Purdy came through, sure, you can have him here. But no. Everything that you said to start the show about what he's doing over there and how he's struggling, I do not understand how you're putting this man right here. No. Cannot do it. Won't do it. This might be our biggest fight this year with your rankings. This might be our biggest fight right here.
All right, man. I feel like I was being a homer. Technically, he's coming off a career year, man. He's coming off a career year. He is, technically, 16 touchdowns, four interceptions. He usually throws more than 10. His interception rate was under 2.5 for the first time in his career.
There's no way you can take seriously what's happening in your offseason and with what you saw from last year and think that this is his spot. I cannot take you seriously right now. I cannot do it.
I mean, I think last year was probably his best film that I've seen from him in a minute. I'll give him that.
Sure, in a completely different offense. Sure.
I understand that, Chris, but it was probably his best film. You saw some anticipation from him a little bit last year, which I was like, wow, it hurts. Wow, took you 10 years. But we saw some. We saw a little bit, you know? And I think he ran that offense pretty well, but it was like 6 year in it. You know, it's like he still didn't want to throw deep for some reason. I that was a big thing with me. Like, he just doesn't want to throw deep anymore. I don't understand that. I think Shanahan kind of showed that a little bit with Brock Purdy throwing deeper, especially in the playoffs, that, you know, Shanahan has the ability to want to push the ball down the field if he really wants to. So I think that's kind of a limitation that Jimmy Garoppolo has. He just doesn't have a big arm to make those big throws, right? My big gripes with Jimmy Garoppolo, if you really want me to get into it, Chris, is that Jimmy Garoppolo does not step into his throws, Chris. Okay. Now, I wish I could pull up. I could pull up the film right now and show you. I don't have it ready
for this.
Like, you get to hear me out? You know, hear me out.
Okay? No. There's things that just bother me, Marcus, when a running back takes a step backward at his first step. That bothers me. A quarterback that doesn't step into his throws, just drives me through. Cam Newton was one of the biggest pains in my butt when it came to not stepping into his throw. That man left it all in his shoulder and in his arm, and it drove me through the roof. And you're telling me, I never even noticed this about Jimmy Garoppolo, and now I'm never going to unsee it, is what you're telling me.
So, yeah, Chris. I mean, I wish I had the film. I could pull it up really quick. My computer take too long, but I will pull it up and show you. Like,
no.
I really want to show you, like, standing up. Like, I really want to stand up right now. It's the weirdest thing because, like, and I think it's the injuries, to be honest. I think the injuries have taken so much a toll on him that because it's the leg. It's the same leg he's been injuring. Because I went back and I watched him play at the Patriots. He was stepping in his throws. But he does it now. And it's like weird. He does that.
He's all wrist and arm action. No.
And it's that's my biggest gripe. And since then, he can't handle pressure at all. He's the worst quarterback in pressure in the NFL, in my opinion, is Jimmy Garoppolo. Because, like, he ran in the end zone last year for a safety. Like, he's Dan Orlovsky, and those are my biggest gripes with him, is that he doesn't step into his throws, and he doesn't handle pressure. So, like, if the pressure is just – he doesn't want to get hit anymore because he's so worried about his leg, I believe. He can't really move like he used to. I was watching the 2016 Garoppolo. I was like, man, I'm surprised that they didn't let Brady go, because, I mean, he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked like a good young player. He was moving. He was dodging in the pocket. He was stepping into his throws, being accurate. I'm like, that's not the guy that's playing for the Raiders, though. That's not the same guy. So, like, I know some Raiders fans have gone back and tried to be like, yeah, that's what they could use in the system. Like, I can't even show a Raiders fan that game because he's stepping into his throws. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't even matter. Like,
different guy.
Like, Chris.
Different guy. Bro. You know, that's right there. Dude, that's the video. That's the video for Twitter. You doing that in your chair. That's the video for Twitter. Yeah, that's the video for Twitter.
That's basically how he throws the ball. It's frustrating. It's crazy to watch. But, you know, he had Shanahan, so he's able to cook. I just don't know if you just aren't going to be able to throw a 15-yard dig route dagger off your back foot. I mean, he did it sometimes to Ayuk, but then he would like miss high because he's not stepping into the throw.
Yeah.
So he high on the take.
Yeah, he sails it. And he's a turnover machine.
Like this is like he's just a turnover machine.
And you're gonna this is where you're gonna put him. This is where you're gonna put him. 23.
He's still better. I think the Purdy one you could have a problem with, but I think he's still better than the guys that I have ahead of him. Yeah. Purdy, you could have an argument. Mine with Purdy is that Purdy just didn't play enough of a sample size, in my opinion, to put it out there.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But that's my problem with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's why I think it's not going to be a fun season for Raiders fans because they honestly they don't know how bad he is. Because other you know you got all the stats he's got. I mean he's got all the stats, man. I mean you could say his stats are better than like Joe Burrow's. You just like you could make the case, right? You're like, oh look at Jimmy Garoppolo versus Joe Burrow, who's better? You can use his stats. You don't you can't argue it, Chris. You know you can't. So and that's what a lot of Raiders fans are doing. They're you know they're trying to hype themselves with the stats, his red zone, whatever his stats are, right? But they're in for a surprise. They're not ready. Raider Nation is not ready for this. I'm telling you right now.
You don't even. They are not a running game. There's no running game there.
They are not ready for this. I could tell some of them. Some of them really believe that he's going to lead this offense to be top five. And I just don't know if they're ready for what's about to happen. And I can't warn them enough. I don't know. I'm negative if I warn them. So I'm the negative guy. And I'm trying to be the nice guy with Raiders fans this year. So I'm not going to warn you. You know, I did threw out a tweet about his interception percentage. I just threw it out there. Just let everybody
know. I saw that.
Throw the ball at all, he's going to go off it.
You got beat up a little for that.
They're mad. That's fine. I just throw out a little thing out there. But, you know. I still haven't shown him running out of the back of the end zone. I could do that because that would piss everybody off. All right. Let's get – we're going to go two more guys here. We're going to go 22 and 21.
22 and 21. Yeah.
All right. So 22 is Mac Jones. So Mac Jones fell a little bit. I think Mac Jones didn't play very well last year. He's still hit or miss.
Yeah. No. He had a very, very poor sophomore season.
Yeah, I mean, he's so hit and miss. Like, just he'll have like three awesome throws in a row, and then have three terrible throws back to back. It's like the craziest thing to watch him. Like the Ravens game, he had like some dimes. I was like, God damn! And then like 2 minutes later, it's like, what the hell? It's a weird experience. It's a really, really a little roller coaster. I don't blame him because he had Matt Patricia running his offense, so it was just
and that's pretty bad. To say that Patricia's running the offense, like that's a defensive guy right there. Like, what is happening? Yeah.
Why Josh McDaniels used to be Matt Patricia, though. You know that, right? Josh McDaniels was Matt Patricia before Matt Patricia. Josh McDaniels is the defensive guy that became the play caller.
Bro, you're in trouble. Let's call it. You're in trouble with this man being your head coach.
Oh man! All right, so. Mac Jones, I thought he took a step back, but I still think there's some elements where he'll have a bounce back.
I think
back
he's going to have I agree with you. With Bill O'Brien. I agree with you. Yeah, yes, with Bill O'Brien. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
It's also, I think, you know, Bill O'Brien's a little bit better of running that same Patriots offense than Josh McDaniels is. And I think he's run it at different levels, too. He's ran it in college. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a spread element they used to do because, I mean, it's not this, they didn't run the same exact one they run in the NFL. You know, they kind of ran in Alabama the more the Deshaun Watson one. So there's going to be a little mixer up because, I mean, you know, Bill O'Brien, he ran the Patriots offense with Deshaun Watson, right? But he's still able to mix in some college elements. And then he went to college, right? And ran a spread version of it and brought it back. I think he's going to open up stuff for Mac Jones a little bit. And I think he's going to play a lot better. But, you know, Mac is just, he doesn't have a big arm. You know, he's so weird to watch. I just feel like he's like trying to be tough out there. It's like weird. I don't know. It's terrible to say, but that's just what I feel like when I watch him. He's just like I don't know. It's a weird film.
I cannot judge him off of last year. That's not his fault. This is the year. This is
pretty accurate guy.
I will be very, very critiquey of Mac Jones this season.
Yeah. I just question his decision making sometimes, but he's still an accurate quarterback, and I think that, you know, I just think he got to handle stuff better. I think he's a little bit emotional too. I think that the
match
just got to him a little bit too much. He's just got to get better there, in my opinion. All right, and last guy, 21, who's Mr. Boring. Probably know this is if I call him Mr. Boring. Ryan Tannehill, Mr. put me to sleep watching film. I think that's, I don't know how else to explain this. I just, you could put on the film and watch him hand the ball off a lot. maybe just some play action. I mean, he's still the same guy. I mean, he's still Ryan Tannehill from the Dolphins. I don't know how to explain it other than that. Like, you know, I felt like I had to rank him higher because he's playing so well. But before that, I mean, I feel like he just came right back to being, you know, Mr. Tannehill from the Dolphins. He's just late all the damn time. Lackadaisical. Like, he doesn't care if he gets hit. He just has no feel if somebody's about to hit him. Right, he doesn't care either. So you know, Arthur Smith used to love that because, you know, he would just sit in the pocket and just be tough and get smacked by running play actions, right? And, you know, and he's so accurate with his deep ball, and he's so accurate in the intermediate part of the field. Like, it's just, it kind of, you know, entices you a little bit. But I just think he just doesn't anticipate. He's just so late all the time that it, you know, I've been calling him 56K reading Tannehill for years, so that I still think that has not changed.
Well, he's got an option this season that will help him play exactly the same way, because he can get away with late deep balls to Hopkins.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hopkins is going to make him look good with those late throws.
I don't know. Tannehill just hasn't been the same since he doesn't have the Arthur Smith crosser to AJ Brown where he takes it and then maybe reverses it and goes 80. He doesn't have that anymore. It's just, it's been a long time. He's just not the same guy.
They might be training Burks how to do that. So that
yeah,
he can true. Do that, and then Hopkins can just catch all the late, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with the football throws.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, Will Levis is over there. He's just sitting back there waiting to take Tannehill's job.
Bro, so. He's got a long time to wait. And you know who's going to be waiting longer than that? Mr. I'm going to be done with football here real soon.
Oh, Malik Willis?
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
He better figure out what's going on in his life, because it's not going to be quarterback in the NFL.
He's in trouble. He's in trouble for sure. Oh, but, you yeah. know, the Titans are going to be good, because, like I said, that division is overrated, and Mike Vrabel's still the best coach over there. I know Doug Peterson gets a lot of love.
Oh, yeah, but they're going to be 1-2. Tennessee and Jacksonville, 1-2.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. So we get to 20 through 11, right? We'll get to 20 through 11 next week.
Yeah,
I think this is when me and Chris gonna have a lot of fun. It's good. We had a little bit of debate with some of these. Oh, I wasn't expecting that, but we're gonna really get a debate through 20 through to 11. I think that's I haven't said your boy's name from the Bears. You missed that. I didn't say your boy's name from the Bears.
Oh no, I did miss that.
I didn't say your boy's name from the Bears. So.
We're gonna
get into that. I think it's gonna be interesting. You know, I think you're gonna like where I put Tua, though. I think you're gonna like that. I think you're gonna like right where I put Tua. I think you're gonna like that one, Chris.
All right, 19 for Tua. I got you.
Maybe you're not gonna like it. Maybe you're not gonna like it. All right, now that's the show this week. Hope you guys enjoy that. Some of a little bit of 32 through 20, looking at some of the quarterbacks in the NFL. That we're gonna keep that list going. Of course, we're gonna talk about preseason next week at the beginning of the show. A little bit of, you know, how the rookies looked, because it's basically all we can talk about preseason. I don't know what, you know,
Patrick Mahomes. We're not going to get a lot of QB views. We might get a little hard knocks conversation, but I don't know how much of a real quarterback. I don't want to be having these hyped up conversations. Let's just make sure we're not having that talking about week one of the preseason. Everybody, keep your head on, keep your clothes on. Keep it under control. It's the preseason. All right. It's going to be the preseason even through week one of the NFL. So just everybody calm down. Calm down. We're just excited. Football's back. We're excited. We're excited.
We're excited, guys.
We're excited.
We are excited. And also follow us on our socials here. So ALPA underscore QB1 on Twitter. ALPA underscore QB1 on Instagram. I'm probably gonna make a TikTok because I think TikTok is better than Instagram right now.
I mean, you're not wrong. I think Twitter's gonna be the number one space if you want to find us this year. That's where it is. ALPA underscore QB1.
Yeah, and then also Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. So like I said, stay tuned, guys. We'll be back next week with 20 through 11 and some preseason talk, getting some preseason action. I actually get to see, you know, some Aiden O'Connell this week, and then get some Aiden O'Connell hype, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somebody that your fans can really dive into.
Yeah.
Be excited about.
Yeah, because I can't wait to week one, and then somebody's like, why isn't he stepping to his throws? And I'm be like, you should have watched my film breakdown. All right. All right. All right. Peace.